Forward in Faith, it's next. Never has the world been more confused and the scriptures been more exciting than today. Forward in Faith invites you to listen to the international voice of the Church of God, Pastor Loren Livingston, as he ministers to his vast congregation of the Central Church of God in Charlotte, North Carolina. Stay with us as Loren gives answers from God's Word to guide you forward in faith. This broadcast is sponsored by Just a Minute, a 60-second word of inspiration by Dr. Tim Hill, General Overseer for the Church of God. Take a moment and enjoy this encouraging message.
In 1939, the movie Gone with the Wind swept the United States like a prairie fire. But I was reading the other day in Acts chapter 2 about another kind of wind that blew in the upper room. And did you ever think about all that it blew away? It blew away cowardice. It blew away fear. It blew away division. It blew away anxiety. All of that was brought on by the power of the Holy Spirit moving by the very breath of God on 120 people that day. I pray that the wind of God will blow in your life and blow out the things that are a detriment to you today. And may you be strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. Know that I love you. I'm praying for you. And I'll be with you again for just a minute.
And now, here's Loren Livingston.
I want to read something to you. And I suppose since the Lord laid this on my heart, somebody needs it. This is from a diary of an old preacher. The longer I live, the more I am aware of my sinfulness, faithlessness, lack of courage, narrow-mindedness. The more I feel the surging waves of greed, lust, violence and indignation roaring in my innermost self. Growing older has not made life with God easier. In fact, it has become harder to experience God's presence, to feel God's love, to taste God's goodness, to touch God's caring hand. So what about my prayer life? Do I like to pray? Do I want to pray? Do I spend time praying? Frankly, the answer is no to all three questions. After 63 years of life and 38 years in ministry, my prayer seems dead as a rock. The truth is, I do not feel much, if anything, when I pray. There are no warm emotions, bodily sensations, or mental visions. None of my five senses is being touched. No special smells, no special sounds, no special sights, no special tastes, no special movements. Whereas for a long time, the Spirit acted so clearly through my flesh, now I feel nothing. I have lived with the expectation that prayer would become easier as I grow older and closer to death. But the opposite seems to be happening. The words darkness and dryness seem to describe best my prayer today. Now, obviously, that doesn't register with everybody in here, but there are some who can identify with that. And the word that stood out to me as I read that was that word dryness. You feel nothing. It seems like your life is fruitless and meaningless. Your walk with Jesus Christ is numb. Last Wednesday night, I taught a new members class. And at the end of that, someone asked this question, Pastor, in all of your 40 years at Central, what's been the toughest thing to deal with? I thought for about 15 seconds and I said, dry times. We have been able to handle good friends just walking off and leaving, not even saying goodbye. We've been able to handle that proverbial knife in the back. We've handled a lot of things. But the thing I dread most is a dry season. It's like both God and Satan say, we don't even want to fool with you. You're just there. It's like you're just dead while you live, even as a Christian. Now we know Jesus experienced that on the cross. They crucified him, his people turned against him, and his Father turned his back on him. And Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we are taught in the scriptures that just as Christ suffered, we must suffer too. Suffering is God's way of bringing us to a place in Christ. I wouldn't dare compare our dryness to what Jesus experienced on the cross, but it's a very real thing. And when you get there, you panic. You start thinking, have I done something wrong? Is God displeased with me? Are my sins catching up with me? Satan will, of course, take advantage of that vulnerable season. And he can actually convince you that doing things that please the flesh give you more satisfaction than waiting on God to move.
Yes, yes.
You can feel panicky, desperate. You might even find yourself doing a so-called spiritual rain dance. You think if you dance hard and loud and long enough, God will send a fresh rainstorm to your parched soul. He won't. I've seen people in church services like this literally doing a spiritual rain dance. If I can work up a sweat, if I can do this hard enough, revival will come to my soul. It won't. It will come when God says it's time. It will come when God says, you have learned a lesson. And you may not even know what the lesson is. He's the one doing the evaluating, you see. He doesn't consult you about your growth. He is measuring you to his son, Jesus. So when those dry times come, and they have, and they will. Let me remind you, too, you can't have enough devotions not to have a dry time. You can't go to enough church services or concerts or go on Christian cruises. God help me. Can you imagine being... Never mind. You can't buy enough CDs or DVDs to get out of a dry place because they are designed by God for a purpose. Now, I'm going to spend the next few moments telling you why this dry season cannot keep you out of heaven or defeat you or separate you from the mighty hand of God. I want to start by going to the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus said all things. Now, let's take our time, okay?
Yes, sir.
Let's take our time. This is heaven and hell stuff for some people. This is eternal stuff. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. That means all power, all knowledge, all wisdom was given to Jesus by his Father. and no one knows the Son except the Father. Wow. No one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. Watch out now. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Did you get that? People don't just come into the world looking for Jesus and finding him. First of all, they don't want him. Sinful men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They are not looking for God. They are looking for more pleasure and they are looking to go deeper in sin. And Jesus reveals something that will shock you. You only know the Father if Jesus decides to show him to you. Do you realize what has happened? You who know the true living God know it because Jesus decided to reveal him to you. Not everyone has had that revelation. That's why I say and will say several times during this message, I don't know how Christians can keep quiet or be still sometimes. Come on, preacher. Because this is, you didn't just decide to grow up in a church. You didn't decide to be a good person and serve God. It was a supernatural action upon your dead soul. And that's why I say if you can say Jesus Christ is Lord, if you can say God is Father, a miracle has taken place in your life. You were raised from the dead. And then Jesus fortified that very thought in John chapter 6 when he said these words, "No man or no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Wow. Oh my God. I have to read that again. No one can come to me, Jesus said, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Are you hearing this? So, what is it about the knowledge of this very thing that should cause me in all of my phases in life, especially my dry space, to rejoice anyway? You got another verse from John back there. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." Listen to me. If you're sitting in here today saved, it's because the Father said to the Son, "Draw them, I'll pull them to you. You show them who I am, they're ours." And when he does it, it's done forever. So now we come to one of the most famous verses in all of the Bible, Romans chapter 8. And once again, the depths of this will never be plumbed. You will never comprehend or be able to grasp what we're about to read and what I'm about to preach. You can only stand in awe. You can shake your head. You can wonder how deep, how wide, how high, how marvelous is the love of God toward me. It says, "And we know." Even when it's dry, even when it's empty, even when nothing is happening, we know that all things. Remember, Jesus said, all things were delivered unto me. We know that all things, that's divorce, that's death, that's cancer, that's birthday parties, that's North Korea, that's Putin in Russia, that's the economy in America. It's whatever is happening in the islands that you've never been to and will never see. It's the raging of the ocean. It's the rising of the sun. It's the chirping of the birds. It's the slithering of the snakes. It's nature in all of its beautiful symphonic courses giving praise to God. It's whatever affects me. It's whatever is happening around me. It's whatever is happening beyond me. All things work together for good. It's working like this. It's being woven together. Who's doing it? God Almighty has already done it, and you are seeing it manifested. Everything you've ever been through, every heartache, every heartbreak, every bit of bad news, every tragedy, every rejoicing, every celebration, everything, all things are working together for good to those who love God. Do you love God this morning? Well, you might be in a dry place, and you might even be saying, I'm having a bit of a struggle with that pastor. I know he saved me, but right now I'm having some trouble feeling love toward God. Oh, are you kidding me? Aren't you sitting in his house right now? Didn't you get up and come to God's house? Don't you always think of Jesus? Doesn't he send chill bumps up your spine even when you don't feel anything? Oh, you love him? You're just going through a dry place right now. It's kind of difficult right now, but you love him, or you wouldn't keep getting up every day and putting one foot in front of the other and blessing him at all times. You love him? And for those who love God, everything is working together. Keep going now. To those who are the called according to his purpose. Oh, my Lord. You see, before God created anything, when it was just Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there was nothing else. They said, we have a plan. Now, folks, there is a galaxy and galaxies and worlds and solar systems beyond ours. The universe is infinite. It's unending. And beyond us, because our minds are teensy-weensy and our understanding is tiny-whiny, beyond us, there are powers and governments and principalities and spirits and beings, untold, innumerable things outside of that. But God, before he made any of that, decided that there would be a little planet called Earth in the middle of it, and that he would create life and put man and woman, and that man walking in the cool of the day would commune with him, but at some point man would yield to a devil and man's spirit would be cursed and a curse would come on the whole earth. And then God decided before anything was made that he would then send his own son, his only beloved son, his righteous, pure, holy, sinless son to die on a cross, shed his blood to pay for the sin that man committed, and then let him bury him and raise him again the third day. For what? We're talking about according to his purpose. His purpose was that through us, the church, the redeemed, the ones who are saved by grace and washed in the blood, could be held up to the principalities and powers beyond us and say, this is what grace is. Hey, they knew about his power. They know about his sovereignty. They know about his omniscience. But the only way to show the other worlds about the grace of God would be to take dead people and raise them up. Lost people and find them, redeem them, call them out, and call them his own family so that they might know the grace of God throughout eternity. Now, so we comprise the church. The church is saved people, Jews and Gentiles, saved by faith in the blood of Jesus. We're the family of God. We are the example of God's grace. He is displaying that and will one day to the whole creation. And that was His purpose, His plan. Before He created anything, He planned all of this. The next verse says, for whom He foreknew, what He's about to do right now is explain to you who the called are and what's about to happen to the called. Yes, yes. For whom He foreknew. Yes. He's talking to believers. Uh-huh. Foreknew means that before anything was made, yes. Right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
He already knew you. He already saved you. He already elected you. Yes. He already called you. You came into the world not knowing that you had the hand of God on your life. Oh, my Lord, have mercy, Jesus. You came into the world struggling like everybody else, but God knew at some time and some place the Father would reveal the Son and the Son would draw you to the Father. You call it youth camp altar. You call it revival, getting saved at a revival. You call it getting saved at a Billy Graham crusade or something like that. But God knew that at some point in your life, He would turn on the light and open your eyes and you would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And all of that happened before anything was made because whom He foreknew. Foreknew. You know, you got to get the proper understanding of the Bible term know. See, that doesn't mean He just knew you before He made anything. It meant He was intimate with you.
That's right.
Oh, the Bible says Adam knew Eve. What do you think that means? He's a man and she's a woman. And they're in a perfect place. And Adam saw her. And I promise you, he did not walk up and say, hi, my name is Adam. I'd like to get to know you better. I promise you that's not what was on his mind. I promise you when the Bible says Adam knew Eve, that they had children. I'm trying to say this in a public way the best I know how. God just doesn't want to be your friend. God just didn't decide you could hold hands and walk through life together. Before He made anything, He became so intimate with you that nobody can even describe the intimacy. He foreknew. And those He foreknew, He also predetermined, predestined, decided beforehand. Folks, God's not sitting up there trying to see what's going to happen next. He's not watching things develop and adjusting accordingly. God's sitting back watching everything that He planned come to pass. He predestined everything. He predetermined everything. So those He foreknew, that's me and you, He also predetermined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what the dry place is all about. That's what dark moments and empty days are all about. It's you, by the power of God, being conformed, shaped, molded into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. Because the Bible teaches we can only be like Him if we suffer with Him. These things are appointed unto us. The suffering is what Christ did to become the captain of our salvation, and the suffering is what we endure to become most like Jesus. So all of that predetermined that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. Hey, don't curse your tears. Don't waste your sorrows. Don't bemoan the trouble in your life. I didn't say enjoy it. Some things you can't. I just said don't curse it. Because Through this, God is bringing everything to pass. Through this, you're being made to look more and more like Jesus. More and more act like Jesus, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is the model. He's the perfect model. And the Father is going to make sure that all of us will become exactly like him on that day. Next verse says, moreover, whom he predestined, these. You got it, didn't you, Sam?
I got it.
Same ones that were foreknown and were predestined, it's the same ones that are called. What does it mean to be called? You have to understand, saved people were called to be saved people. But here's something else you have to understand. God does not offer salvation. He saves. He doesn't say, you want to be saved? Would you like to be saved? Would you like to miss hell? You want to go to heaven? Anybody? You see, what I'm trying to get you to understand is, this is not in flux. It's not like God is saying, oh, why not tonight? Please come. I've done all this. Will you not? He didn't do that. He already got a people.
He sure does.
He's already saved him a people. Elected him a people. Designed him a family. Made him a church. Do you understand that, ladies and gentlemen? God knew that if he just offered it to me, I wouldn't take it.
He knew it, yes.
I was too stupid.
Come on.
Blind.
Yes.
Lost.
Yes.
Dead.
Yes.
I'll stay right here if y'all keep on helping me. Stupid, blind, lost, dead, yes. Deaf,
yes.
Foolish.
Come on, preacher.
He knew I wouldn't take it. There's nothing in me that wanted salvation. Nothing in the flesh that desires the things of God.
Nothing.
So if God just offers it to me, I'm not going to take it. So God said, I think I'll intervene.
Uh-huh.
Instead of just offering it to you, I'm just going to save you. I'm just going to save you. That doesn't mean that you don't have to call on the name of the Lord. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, if this and if that... You can't reconcile it. You can't make it make sense. It's God. This is God's work. So he saves us. You are saved when you feel dead in your soul. When, like that pastor, you don't want to pray. You have no desire to pray. There is nothing in you that desires spiritual things. You are just as saved then as you are when you are on the mountaintop. Because God did not leave this up to me. Now, I know that's offensive to a lot of people, but I had to learn it the hard way. If he left it up to me, I wouldn't do it. One man said, I'm glad God chose me before I was born, because he certainly wouldn't have after I was born. That's beautiful, isn't it? It means that from before the foundation of the world, he called your name. And he goes on to say, whom he called, these, same people, these, he also.
You may receive an audio CD of the message you've just heard for a $5 contribution. When requesting CDs, please give the date on which you heard this broadcast. Write to Forward in Faith, P.O. Box 2430, Cleveland, Tennessee, 37320. Or by calling toll-free at 1-800-251-4024. For additional episodes of Just a Minute by Dr. Tim Hill, visit churchofgod.org.